Welcome to the Galveston Ghost Podcast. We are up to episode number 16, and this is the third of three installments with Tara. If you've been through for the first couple, she worked at Murdoch's, she worked at a hotel that had a haunting, and in this episode, she'll tell some stories from the first residents of the island, ghost orphanages, and Kate will also talk about a ghost boy that she's seen at her work, and a story about that New Orleans witch, Marie Laveau. The Galveston Ghost Podcast is produced by RadioGalveston.com with 24/7 commercial-free music and the sound of the island. And now back to Tara and her stories.
They're just experiences, and I'm sure once you come to the island and live here, you'll have dozens of them. Because you see things passing on the street and you give a double look, and sure enough, when you pass right back by, you'll see that that's where somebody was hit and killed. Or you'll see a tribute with a bicycle, and you'll instantly be able to put the two and two together. Like driving down Harborside every now and then, you'll see the Caronquin houses. And every now and then, growing up, when my Nana would drop my papa off at the Yacht Basin Marina, you'd see black darts crossing the road, going to those homes. And that's something I want to look into, is if there's any correlation of people getting hit there, or residual energy going back to those homes, because they're preserved for a reason.
Yeah, I'm looking into those too, because it's very interesting. The Caronquins that were here in the 15th mm-hmm. century, there's a lot of mixed stories about them. Mm-hmm. People want to just grab onto the thought that the Caronquins were...
Cannibals. Yes.
Well, the Gama was accidentally marooned here for mm-hmm. a period of time. And he got to know the Caronquins, mm-hmm. and they lived fine together. There was no, because they just wanted to have their ships repaired and yeah. somebody come get them and to go. And they were known because they had such limited supplies that mm-hmm. they actually ate their dead shipmates. Mm-hmm. The Caronquins, if they were in battle with somebody, if they had the highest ranking member of the battle, if it was a Spanish fleet that was trying to overtake mm-hmm. them, there were times that they felt that there was positive energy or spirit in that individual that mm-hmm. felt that they would eat. Well, not mm-hmm. everybody.
Yeah, but they were selective.
For their energy and their power and the spirit that they thought made that person a good leader or a good warrior mm-hmm. to help themselves. But it's very interesting because the Indians just throughout all of Texas have just an amazing history.
Yes.
And then, and just the island, the other thing I'm looking into is, there was actually three orphanages here.
Yes, one where Walmart used to be is what I've always been told. And there's hearsay, but I've heard, you can ask almost any BOI and they'll tell you that they have heard or know somebody that has heard kids playing in the children area of Walmart, stalkers, the night stalkers. They've heard things.
They said they had to shut it down at night.
Yeah.
Is what I had read. If you are a member of the Rosenberg Library, you can go back and get all of the old 1900 newspapers mm-hmm. to go back. So orphanage is on my to-do list.
Yeah.
Because one of the reasons, I thought, it's an island. How can there be so many orphans here?
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons is they came from New York on the train.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so Pelican Island was the mm-hmm. or an immigration station,
mm-hmm.
but so was Ellis Island in New York,
mm-hmm.
and the railway went all the way from New York to here.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they had people on Ellis Island that came in or didn't clear or passed away and left children,
mm-hmm.
they would put them on trains, and it was the adoption train, basically,
mm-hmm.
and it would go city to city through the country. And if the kids that didn't get adopted, the end of the line was here.
Uh-huh.
And so some were bought, some were adopted, some, you know, I guess for whatever reason, all nationalities and colors.
Yeah.
And so some kids were purchased into slavery mm-hmm. off the train, and whatever was left came to Galveston.
Yeah.
And that's why one of the reasons, not only because of the epidemics that they
yeah.
had, that they had so many
orphanages,
random
yes.
kids. So
yes.
there, yeah, three orphanages. So.
Do you know where the other two were? Because I remember the one by Walmart, or it was where Walmart's built. But where are the other two?
The other one said it was off of 52nd,
mm-hmm.
and then the other one I have to look, it was on the East End somewhere. It was associated with some religious organization. We're still trying to figure out, we have a little boy So I work in John Seeley Annex, and I've been here worked here 4 years. But every once in a while, you get late and you're writing notes. We have a little boy with overalls on.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
He walks the halls at night. And he's been seen on different floors of the old John Seeley Hospital, and the annex kind of attaches to it. And so nobody knows, was he an orphan? How did he get there? Where is he from? But that's the only one I've ever seen and heard over it on that site. But I wonder how close, or if there was orphanages or something in that area.
I mean, even without orphanages, just homeless kids in that in that area. So many kids new trades by the time they were 10 and were trying to work.
That's true.
And traveling back and forth to work. I mean, just recently I saw a picture that my cousin posted of a miner back from Arkansas that was 7 and had a pipe. And I'm like, it was a different time where all these kids grew up quick.
They did grow up quick. Very unlikely.
Yeah. I have one. It's the backstory is a little long, and it involves an animal. So when I've had asthma my entire life, and when I was born, I had a lot of health problems. But at 3 days old, I was allowed to go home. It was my first night home with my mom, who was staying with my nan and papa, and she put me in my crib and left me. I ended up having my first asthma attack that night. And because she wasn't the best of moms, she didn't know close the door so the animals don't get in there. And it's a good thing she didn't, because we had one cat. Her name was Mama Kitty. She was my mother's cat that she rescued from Hurricane Alicia. And she got in my crib and saw that something was wrong. And she went ballistic. I don't know if you've ever heard that guttural cry that cats, when they're in a fight or when they're scared, it's a growl almost. She went to my grandparents' room and started going crazy, as well as their blind poodle that they had. And had it not have been for her waking them up, them coming and checking on me, I would have suffocated because my asthma, I was already changing colors. And me and that cat were inseparable until the day she died. And that was in 2003, Mother's Day 2003. I have seen that cat at several times in my life when things were going wrong. I had my lungs start to collapse due to asthma again. And that was in 2012 when I was hospitalized. And me and my husband were just dating at that time. It gets me emotional because the love me and her had. I swear her death was the hardest for me. My lungs were starting to collapse. I had already had the conversation with the nurses of who was to come in if something was happening, what religious sect am I from. And my husband, who was there with me, I saw a cat, the back of a cat with a tail, black. She was a black cat. The black tail leave the door with one of the nurses. And I looked at him, I told him, I'm like, everything's going to be okay. Because I got to see her. And I knew when I saw her that everything's going to be okay. And every now and then, when something's wrong, I'll see her and know that it's okay. I'm not somebody who delves into practices a lot of witchcraft and whatnot, but I believe in familiars and spirits who are with you. And she is with us all the time. Or at least comes back to check on me all the time.
Well, it's such an important time too. When you really need her. The
yeah. Yeah.
That night when you needed her.
She was there. Always. She was there.
Had she not been there, you could have done anything.
Yeah, I was, yes, 3 days old.
And now she's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Because she knows when you
yeah.
need her.
Yeah.
And you're soon to have her third
girl. Third girl, Evangeline. How familiar with you are you with New Orleans? Have you ever heard of Marie Laveau?
Yeah.
Marie, her name was Marie Catherine Laveau. And she was the proclaimed voodoo queen of New Orleans. But even though she practiced voodoo at the cathedral in New Orleans down by Jackson Square as a saint, because she did so much good work with the yellow fever, practicing voodoo, she knew root work and weeds, and she helped save thousands of lives with yellow fever. And she was also known to bake food for the prisoners, the nonviolent prisoners, and go and visit them. So she's known throughout the city. I've always had a special connection with her story, and that's who we named my daughter after. Her name is Catherine Laveau, and we named after Marie Catherine Laveau. That she's the one who sees stuff every now and then. Whereas my youngest right now, Coraline, doesn't. She doesn't see anything. When we, like I said, I don't practice much, but I dabble. And when we found out we were pregnant with her, we went to the first ultrasound. And the doctor let me know that she was a high-risk doctor. She wasn't supposed to do ultrasounds, but she wanted to check anyways, because with both of our combined medical histories, she just wanted to double-check. She looked in my uterus, saw nothing. An empty sac. And I remember going back to crying, like obviously crying my eyes out, because she was saying, well, maybe it's just too early to see the baby. Maybe there's something that we're not seeing. This is a small monitor. Maybe it's on me. But you can't tell that to an expected mom and expect her not to worry. So when we left the doctor's office, I immediately gathered fruit, as much fruit as I could, and I took it to the cemetery as an offering and was begging to get in contact with somebody that would help. And I was thinking, Marie Laveau, Marie Laveau. And I was begging her. I was like, please, at the next ultrasound, let us see something. And I put my offerings of fruit at the cemetery, because growing up, that's how I was always taught to contact her. And sure enough, the next ultrasound, there she was. And I knew in my head instantly, I was like, this is a girl. Her middle name's going to have to be Laveau. And my husband had no idea that the name Catherine was a part of Marie Laveau, because nobody ever calls her by her full name. It's just Marie Laveau. And one day, he's the one who gets to pick all the first names. One day he called me when he was working with another officer who's no longer with us. He says, Catherine. I want to name her Catherine. And boy, oh boy, did I snatch that up. So we got to... I tried getting to put the Marie in front of it and win that battle, but we got Catherine Laveau.
But he came up with that
on his own. I get emotional thinking about the girls and my cat.
Thank you, Tara, and thank you, Kate, for the great stories. And be sure to subscribe for the podcast, because coming up next, something that will probably send some chills down your spine. If you follow the podcast series, you know that I really have been a skeptic through all of this, but Kate has done some work in a graveyard, and with her EVP, she's captured some sounds that may turn even the most hardened skeptic into a believer. That's coming up next time on the Galveston Ghost Podcast. So if you enjoy what you're hearing, please give us a 5-star review. Tell your friends. You can find us online at galvestonghostpodcast.com, as well as most of the major podcast platforms. So thanks for joining, and we will meet you all right back here next time on the Galveston Ghost Podcast.